Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So we all look back on the Attitude Era with rose-tinted glasses, even though on one episode, Kai and Ty tried to chop off Val Venus's pee-pee. Always remember that. Even the highest of highs have some shocking lows. But let's still have some fun with this, because I am signed for What Culture. Please do hit that subscribe button. This is 10 Things You Learn Binge-Watching the Attitude Era. Number 10, the shift to Raw is War was needed. Mostly because we got the iconic riff that I still sing today. Just worked. Raw went to 2 full hours for the first time on the 3rd of February 1997, though, and soon after the whole look of the show changed. By the 10th of March, it was a totally different product with a new huge Titantron, all the fireworks you can imagine, and the fact we now use the word war a lot. Or means violence or something. This wasn't an accident either. Vince McMahon was well aware that the old design looked out of date compared to WCW's Nitro, and that really, the WWF was falling behind. Fair play to the powers that be, however, as they did react, and almost overnight Raw had shifted from a cartoon to being adult must-see TV. That message didn't get across right away because it took a while, but you know the deal. That did happen eventually, as McMahon let into the whole anything can happen approach. Who knows what would have happened if they'd held out any longer? I don't think Juke the Dumpster Drozy was going to be the answer. Number 9, nobody could see anything because of the signs. It is a common chat now, but you don't really get it until you go back and watch this period. But my word, the amount of signs is ridiculous. How anybody could actually see the ring, I don't know, because 99% of people likely had a big piece of cardboard in their face for the entirety of the show. It's great if you're watching on TV because it brings a kind of atmosphere we'll never get back. But given some of these things are in the air constantly, poor old Bob, who just wanted to see some wrestling, was likely very upset. The best part is, the years ticks over, it gets worse, or better, depending how you look on it. By 1999, it feels like signs have taken over the human race and they are now attending wrestling shows. And I swear, some people have multiple boards to fling upwards. Totally out of control. So there is a plus side for it calming down a bit because, again, I can only imagine pivotal moments were missed by some as Brian 316 blocked their field of view. Truly is something else. Number 8, DX 2.0 with a better version of the group. So we can debate this forever, but if you watch things today, I think Triple H's post-Mania 14 rejig DX is the better of the two. The original incarnation with The Game, Shawn Michaels and China helped bring in the Attitude Era, but in terms of storylines and the impact on the TV show, the arrival of Billy Gunn, The Road Dogg and X-Pac is what cements the whole faction. It was around this time when fans really gravitated towards them as well, and the suck it catchphrase became more of a ha-ha rather than please suck my genitals. That's what it meant too, don't forget. Hence why when kids started crotch-chopping and shouting that at their parents, the WWF was swiftly banned in many a household. It also sparked a feud with the nation, which, while very controversial today, was loved during the late 90s. And if we're being totally honest, the first attempt does feel like it's there to help Michaels, as opposed to a stable being a stable. Everybody got over here and became a bigger superstar thanks to it too. And if you need the real evidence, head to the summer of 1998. Good grief, they are beloved. Maybe even more so than you remember. Number 7, Austin vs. McMahon at SummerSlam 98. Now, this didn't happen as we know. Steve Austin and Vince McMahon wrestled their first match on the 13th of April 1998 Raw, but it was more of an angle than a match. This was all intentional, though, because the WWF was testing the waters, and yup, there was a massive demand for it. It was why all of a sudden it felt like we were indeed going to do this at that year's SummerSlam. No reason not to, really. Come August, the audience was desperate to see the Rattlesnake destroy the Boss, and as the event was going to be live from Madison Square Garden, Why the flub not? I can't really give you the answer because instead we did go with Austin versus The Undertaker. Now, I can't take too many shots at this because as a child I was so excited about this clash, I faked a sick day to get it off school. When you do get in the time machine, it seems bizarre everybody wasn't more obvious with this. Right there. As it turned out, we'd pulled the trigger at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre pay-per-view in early 1999. While that still sent people crazy, I tell ya. If you asked me if it felt a little bit too late, my answer would be yes. Nathan McMahon just didn't think he could do a proper match, which was true, but he always made it work now, didn't he? Number 6, Raw rarely has great matches. The term great matches is debatable, but in terms of what we get today, we're spoiled. You get 5-star classics on a weekly basis, be it on WWE, AEW or New Japan TV. Wasn't the same in the late 90s. Raw didn't really care about having these kinds of bangers. It wanted to take you on a roller coaster ride and supply you with all the moments you could handle. That's why there's so many good YouTube clips featuring Steve Austin, The Rock, Vince McMahon, Kane, The Undertaker, Mankind, DX, and the rest of them. If you do go back through both 1998 and 1999, there's only a handful of Raw matches that feel impressive. The big reason for this is because most only go 2 minutes before there's some sort of DQ. That is by design, though, as everybody is desperate to get to the next promo or backstage skit. That's the bread and butter. So in terms of in-ring action, there is no question today that it is better. And yes, that includes modern-day Raw. I know you're going nuts, but go and find out for yourself. Number 5, SmackDown diluted Raw. In April 1999, the WWF trialed SmackDown, and surprise, surprise, it was a massive success. Of course it was. It meant come August we were going to go ahead with this, and great! More content when the wrestling world was on fire sounds good to me. The problem looking back now is I don't think the company was totally prepared for this, and trying to stretch out angles across the reek rather than in one evening is apparent almost instantly. Head writer Vince Russo also left soon after this due to the extra workload and tensions with McMahon, and you can see that on the screen too. Sometimes it feels a bit like nobody cared. The beauty is no one realized it back then, which is all that mattered. But with your retrofitted glasses on from a 2023 world, it's quite clear what happened here. We jumped in mostly because WCW had Thunder, but look, 24 years on, SmackDown is still an absolute beast. As long as you get there in the end, I don't think it massively matters. Number 4, the Radicals were doomed. Now, don't get me wrong. When Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, and Perry Saturn jumped ship to the WWF, it was a flipping big deal. Fans always loved a good switcheroo, but when you see the foursome turn up in 2000, you already know. Because while Benoit had clearly been earmarked for things and Eddie Guerrero was going to get his chance, Saturn Malenko were left out to dry just because, you'd assume, Vince McMahon didn't see much in him. It's why the boss felt like he had to manufacture this, hence why Dean became James Bond and Perry fell in love with a mop. I mean, that was a punishment, but it all tied in. McMahon didn't trust them, which was the same for Eddie at first. He just got too good to deny after a while. With your wrestling brain turned on, though, go and watch this and say you don't see it, though. You most definitely will. Number 3, Mick Foley is the only good commissioner. Mostly as the rest were kind of just there to be there. For example, when Shawn Michaels was the commissioner, he wasn't really the commissioner. He was better than Sergeant Slaughter, but only because his name value was bigger. But in terms of being involved with the storyline, neither ever really did much of anything. They were just a floating presence if we needed an angle to make sense. When Mick Foley took it on, he clearly wanted to make it his own, and he did. He was not only a joy week to week, but because he was playing a babyface role, there is so much relief to this after all the McMahon-dominated angles. To be honest, whoever came up with it deserves a prize. As soon as Mick is in charge, Raw gets an obvious lift. He's also genuinely hilarious when there's room for it, and everything we did with Edge, Christian, and Kurt Angle should be in a museum. Just excellent. Number 2, there were genuinely funny moments. And arguably, WWE is not as good as such ideas today as they were back then. I mean, we all know that Vince McMahon loves toilet humor, do with that what you will, but it's the freedom of the performers that makes this work. Steve Austin and Kurt Angle running around like idiots in 2001 still holds up today, and Deborah deserves a mention here too. Her constant eye-rolling makes the silliness even better. I mean, what are these morons doing? SmackDown seems to have the lion's share of these, but Raw is certainly not struggling for them, and it did kind of feel like we leant more in this direction during the Attitude Era than maybe we do now. Suppose you need the talent in order to get these work, but I for one would welcome more of these. You know the deal. 4 words, goofy wrestling for life. Number 1, Steve Austin wasn't missed in 2000. And that doesn't mean the WWF wouldn't have been better with him. It would have done. But given how big of a star he was, it's a feather in the cap of everyone else that when he is out with a serious neck injury, the show basically keeps on ticking over. barely misses a beat. Episodes of Raw continue to fly by using the same template as before, but as planned, The Rock is given a proper push, Triple H makes his mark, whereas The Undertaker continues to provide that link between the past and the future with a revamped character helping him stay relevant. If Austin had been there, who knows where the company would have gotten to, but it's not like if you watch it now you have to suffer through 2000. You don't. The good ideas keep on rolling, which sums it up, I suppose. All those years ago, the World Wrestling Federation could do no wrong. Know of anything else we can learn by watching the Attitude Era? Please do leave a comment below and don't forget to like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Then head over to WhatCulture.com where you can read yourself some articles. Please do follow us on social media, WhatCultureWWE and Simon316. And if you would like to read more of these articles with your eyes, we have a bunch of them at WhatCulture.com. My name is Simon for WhatCulture. Thank you very much for joining me as always. You take care of yourself, my friends, and I will talk to you again soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.